Now, if you were one of the select few who received a copy of the Order of Service, the bit I've entitled next, the word I've used, may have shocked or indeed horrified you if you saw it. So before I say what it is, I want to give some context. Now, as most of you will know, last November, 7th of November, I had a stroke. And 9 days later, 16th of November, I was due to preach. And I had, in fact, started to prepare what I was going to do. And so I'd prepared this bit, bearing in mind that it was in the middle of November. Okay? And I thought long and hard about whether I should still do this bit. And something I saw on Facebook this week prompted me to do so. Because the word, brace yourself, Linda, is Christmas. And it's June. I know it's June. But obviously, because I was preparing this, you know, sort of 6 weeks before Christmas, I had some thoughts about that. A friend of mine posted on Facebook, he saw a sign midweek outside the, what used to be the Bewleys, I think it's the Clayton Hotel now in Leeds, which said, book your Christmas event. And he thought it was outrageous. And then I posted, he's a friend of mine who I run with at our running club, and I said, we've already booked our Christmas event for this year. In fact, we booked it before we had our Christmas event last year, because if you want to get your venue, you've got to book early. Anyway, the reason I was going to talk about Christmas was because, do you remember when you asked for something for Christmas and maybe you went searching around the house to see if it had been bought and you looked in various hiding places? Now, I looked and I never found anything myself. My mum was clearly either very good at hiding or hadn't bought them at the point I was particularly looking. So, but if you found it, if you found that something you were looking for, when Christmas came along, what were you hoping for? Well, you'd already seen and you'd already received. And Paul says in Romans 8, verse 24, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes what they already have? And so today I want to look at hoping for things that perhaps we don't have, but also, you know, what hope do we have? Well, that sounds quite, when I say it out loud, sounds quite bad. But I hope you don't mind me mentioning Christmas, because for some people, you know, think, you know, we've had Father's Day recently, we've had Mother's Day, we've had Valentine's, we've had Easter. So if you've already had your birthday up till now, you know, that's all you've got left to look forward to as far as gifts are concerned. So, you know, maybe 6 months away, but there we go. Christmas, start preparing your list now. Janet is going to read for us.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer.
Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray this morning you will open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. I pray that you will give me the words to share, the words that you want to reach people where they are now, whatever they need in their lives. I just ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's some words in this passage that I want to look at, and it's something the man says, and then Jesus also says. And we've got the written word, and we don't know how they said it, do we? We don't know the inflection, we don't know the emphasis that they put on the words. I don't know how many of you heard of someone called Derek Bentley. Derek Bentley was a young man at the age of 19, back in the 1950s. He was hanged for a murder. He didn't actually commit the murder. So he'd gone with a friend of his, Christopher Craig. Christopher was 16, Derek was 19. And Chris had gone armed with a gun. They went to an attempted burglary, where they ended up on the roof of this building. And someone called the police, having seen them. And a policeman managed to grab Derek. And Chris was there. And Derek said, let him have it. And I don't know if you've heard that phrase before. There was a film made about this in the early 90s. Let him have it. And the case hinged on those words. Was Derek saying to Christopher, let him have it, shoot? Or was he saying, let him have it, give up the gun? And it was determined by the jury that it was the prosecution's let him have it, shoot, that he meant, rather than let him have it, give up the gun. But there was some dispute as to whether he actually used those words as well. But as you can see, just those words had a different meaning. And unfortunately, Bentley, even though he didn't fire the shot because of the way the law worked at that time, he was found guilty and he was hanged for the murder. I'm pleased to say he's since been posthumously pardoned. And found that judgment was overturned. But the words I want to look at are the words where the man says, this spirit that possesses his son has often thrown him into the fire or water, but if you can do anything, if you can do anything, if you can. And Jesus replies, New International Version, if you can. New Living Translation actually adds the words, what do you mean, if you can? So I want to look at those words, if you can. So, if, let's look at the word if. I don't know what that conjures up with you. Maybe the song from Bread that Telly Savalas covered in the 1970s, if a picture paints a thousand words, then why can't I paint you? I don't know if you remember that. Or maybe Rudyard Kipling's if you can keep your head above you while all about are losing theirs and blaming you, etc., etc. I don't know the first line, I don't know the rest. But if, suggests that there's some doubt there. So the man says, if you can. And Jesus responds, if you can. Did he respond with the emphasis on the word if? If you can? Was he surprised? Was he incredulous? Are you suggesting that I can't do this? If. I don't think Jesus was in a particularly good mood at this point. And I say that because earlier on in the story, if you recall, just before, the disciples had been sent out and they'd been healing lots of people, but they hadn't been able to heal this young man, young boy, and there was some arguing, and Jesus says, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. I don't think Jesus was in a particularly good mood at this point. Yeah, it's a bit like you ask someone to do something and they don't do it, or they don't do it very well, and you think, well, do you know what? I may as well just do it myself. Yeah? Don't look at me like that. So I've got to be careful what I say today. So Jesus was clearly not in a good mood, and was the question, if are you questioning my authority? But if suggests some doubt, doesn't it? And the classic doubter, we'll all recall, is Thomas. You know, if I see the hands, the nail marks in your hands and your feet, then I will believe. And again, Facebook, I look at a lot of rubbish on Facebook. And I don't know how I've managed to get linked or get these posts about. A lot of people posting how I'm not convinced about the existence of God. I'm not convinced that Jesus was who he said he was. And funnily enough, I saw something this week where someone, without probably realizing it, echoed the words of Thomas and says, well, if Jesus was to come back to earth now and tell me, I might be convinced. And I was thinking, well, that immediately got me thinking of that story of the rich man and Lazarus. I don't even remember that story that Jesus told about the rich man, and there was this fellow called Lazarus who would just eat the crumbs of his table. And then Lazarus, they both died, and Lazarus was with Father Abraham, looking down on the rich man. And the rich man was saying, oh, it's so hot, as we know, I'm tormented. Can you just dip his finger, in some water and just touch my tongue to cool me down? And he said, no, we're separated. And so the rich man, if you recall, said, well, send Lazarus back, because I've got family, and if you send Lazarus back, they'll believe. And Father Abraham says, well, they've got the Moses and the prophets. He says, well, if you send this him back, they'll believe someone who comes back to life. And of course Abraham says, even if someone came back to life, they're not going to believe them. And sometimes it's quite hard to convince people who don't believe in God. I mean, I've given up trying to convince people. I often say, well, you may not believe in God, but I can assure you he believes in you. And sometimes that's what we need, don't we? We need to think, when things aren't going bad, if things can happen, we've maybe lost a bit of hope. We need that belief that God still believes in us. He is there with us to support us. The man himself exclaimed, I do believe, help my unbelief. There's always that little bit of niggly doubt. And there's nothing wrong with doubt. It's a normal part of being a Christian. We're going to have some doubts. But we need to acknowledge that we do have hope in Jesus. And we do have hope that... There we go. Wrong order. That he is going to be with us. The second word, you, if you can. And it's got me thinking there, who is you? I don't know if that's a grammatically correct sentence, but who is you? The man says first, if you referring to Jesus, if you can, your disciples couldn't, can you do it? Again, expressing surprise about this man's lack of faith. Is that what Jesus responds? But perhaps Jesus is challenging the man and he's saying, if you can, this story also appears in Mark's gospel. It's slightly shorter. At the end of the story that Janet read, Jesus said to his disciples, this kind of spirit can only be removed by prayer. Whereas in Mark, this is what Jesus says. No, he doesn't. Because he says it in Matthew. My apologies. I've flagged the wrong verse. Matthew chapter 17. He says, why can't we drive it out? And Jesus says, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And sometimes I think this is what God is saying to us, and Jesus is saying to us, he's challenging us. We have that belief, but we have a lack of belief. And we need that extra bit of faith to acknowledge with the Holy Spirit, we can achieve things, but we have to believe that we can achieve things. We have to believe, and we need that extra faith. So when, you know, I don't know, we've only got written word. When the man says, if you can do it to Jesus, I think Jesus is perhaps, one way of interpreting is Jesus is challenging us to say, if you can do it, in the same way he's challenged the disciples, with faith, anything is possible for you. So the third word, can, if you can you do it? It was my first thought when I thought that, ooh, can you fix it? Ah, Bob the Builder. And if you remember, in response to Bob the Builder, Barack Obama said, yes, we can. It was a 9-year gap. I don't know if you realise that. I had a quick look up last night. Bob the Builder first came out in April 1999. And Barack Obama's infamous speech about, yes, we can, and a bit of catchphrase, was in November 2008. So I think, you know, he's obviously following Bob the Builder. If you can you do it? This is what the man is asking. And I think Jesus is saying, well, can I? Yes, I can. But am I prepared to do so? Now I'll come to that passage in Mark. Mark chapter 6. Where Jesus has gone home in his hometown. And he's performing one or two miracles and he's saying things. And people are, this is Mary's son, this is the carpenter. And he's not given any respect. And Jesus says, a prophet is not without honour except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. And it says, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. So I think we probably, most of us would acknowledge, Jesus can do anything. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is within their power to do anything. The question is, can they or will they? And it seems to me that the point here comes back to our faith. Jesus wants to use us, the Spirit wants to use us, but we need to be willing to be used. We need to be willing to to take that leap of faith, take that step of faith and say, you know, I'm willing to do it. I'm just going to go off on something. Just thought about is spiritual gifts. We get given certain gifts, and perhaps sometimes we don't use them to the full extent. Now, I believe, and this is a personal view for which I have absolutely no authority, but I believe that sometimes you're given a gift only temporarily, maybe for a specific purpose. And I say this because there was an instance in my life where I was given the gift of healing. But that was for healing myself. Let me share. So I'm going back to Easter 1980, and I broke my leg, or someone broke my leg for me whilst playing football. And it was a clean break in two places, the tibia and the fibula. So in hospital, plastered up, and I was told, this is going to take 8 to 12 weeks to heal. I thought, well, that's going to take me past school sports day. I thought, oh, you know, I had a good chance of winning the 800 metres race in the school sports day. I don't want to miss out on that. So I prayed to God. I said, I really would like some instant healing here. Now, I believe I was healed within 2 weeks. And the reason I believe this is because the plaster cast, which went from toe to top of thigh, broke just at the point where the break in my leg was. And I was able to just walk without crutches, but with the plaster cast. And then my mum noticed this, and she said, oh, we need to take... So I went to hospital, and they replastered it. And then after 4 weeks, so that's another 2 weeks later, they took the plaster cast off. And the doctor says, you can't believe this. This is healed completely. This is healed completely. I can't believe this. You know, I was expecting to put plaster back on. So personally, I had the power of healing. You know, it was the power of prayer. But the point I'm making here really is, I didn't win the sports day race, by the way. I didn't recover quickly enough. But there we go. That's just another side story. But we're given gifts, and we need to have the faith to use them. Lots of different gifts. I mentioned, you know, obviously healing there, but we get the gift of tongues. Well, again, I might differ from people as to what tongues mean. Personally, I think that just means languages. Some people can speak languages and some people can't. We get the gift of prophecy. We get the gift of more practical gifts. You know, we have people who help in church behind the scenes, don't they? Cleaning, doing the tea, that sort of thing. These are gifts which people use, and perhaps we don't use them enough. Gifts of hospitality and sharing. And it comes down to saying, you know, if you can, if we can, if I can. And sometimes our lack of faith means, you know, when I say lack of faith, we still believe, we still acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But sometimes when it comes to being challenged to do something, perhaps we think, do you know what? Maybe I haven't got the support. Maybe I haven't got the ability. But as Jesus said to the disciples, anything is possible for you. Some may be familiar with Yoda from Star Wars. You know, do or not, do not. There is no try. Yeah. You know, with God, we can. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I come back to that point about people saying, well, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. You know, and I repeat, you know, you might not believe in him, but he believes in you. He believes that you can do things, that you can do the impossible, because he is with you to do that. Yeah? And as Jesus said to Thomas, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe.